be in the service just one more time. He told God and Father, we come standing before you behind this sacred desk this morning, God. And we pray right now, God, that you would have your way in this worship. We thank you for what our eyes have seen thus far and our ears have heard, God. God, I come one more time to stand behind this, your sacred desk. And God, I pray that you would just have your way in me, dear God. Help me to decrease and you increase in me. God, I stand as an empty cup before a full fountain, and I need you to fill me up with your words, God. Then most of all, Lord, hide me behind the cross, where your people will see you and not me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. For our sake we pray, amen. Thank God. The book of Mark, chapter number 14. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 14. Begin reading at verse number 1. It says, and after 2 days was there a feast of the Passover of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought on how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on this feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this wasted of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Rest with us, the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forevermore. I want to talk from the front this morning. She has done what she could. She has done what she could. Our text this morning is about the kind of sacrifice. It is about a kind of sacrifice that is supposed to mark the life of every single believer in the family of Jesus Christ. It is a kind of sacrifice talked about by men like Paul in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 when he says, I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Watch this. Which is your reasonable service. Watch the context of this story here. Jesus is on his way to Calvary's cross. He goes and a woman expresses a deaf love for him and devotion to him with a costly sacrifice. understood by other folk.
Yes, sir.
But it is commended by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In fact, he tells those around him that she has done what she could. And that her sacrifice will be remembered or rehearsed forever. In fact, I am fulfilling the prophecy now because I'm talking about the story. She has done what she could. And I want us to look at this passage for just a few minutes. As we do, I want us to consider the thought. She's done what she could. As we think about the sacrifice that she made for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask ourselves this morning the very same question. Have we done what we could for Jesus Christ? Have we given all that we could give for the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to look at three areas this morning as I talk about she's done what she could. When you look at it, that is the first sacrifice. There was a sacrifice that was made by the woman. You look at verses 3 through 4. He says, she broke the box of ointment and poured it on the master's head. This ointment was valued at 300 pence. And a pence was a daily wage of average worker of that time. Therefore, in our times, it's worth about some $15,000 that the folks say she wasted on Jesus. This ointment was produced from a rare plant that grew in India. It was very expensive, and many people had to save up their entire lives just to buy the ointment for their burial. However, this woman, whom we believe to be Mary, that's spoken of in John chapter 12, poured it out on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. When she does that, two ancient customs are covered under this. He says the first is that what she has done with this is break the glass or the box of alabaster. When a distinguished person would come to the home in that time, and he was a distinguished person, often the glass that he would drink out of would be broken to prevent a lesser person from drinking from the same glass to diminish the value. Y'all know how we do. We do the same thing today. When the pastor comes over, or when the elite of the job or somebody else comes over, we pull out the china out of the china cabinet. And we put it out for them to have a lavish meal and everything else. We even go get the best silverware out of the closet and we put it on. And then when they're gone and the children ask on the next day to eat from the same thing, no, you get a paper plate. We do the same thing today. But he said, It will prevent those who are of lesser value to lessen the value of the glass that they use. This may have been in Mary's mind when she broke the bottle or the box of alabaster. Another custom is had to do with a burial ritual. After the body of the deceased had been washed and anointed, the box that contained the elaborate spices was broken, and the fragrance was poured upon the individual who was to be buried. Perhaps these are the things that were in the mind of Mary.
Yes, sir.
However, I like to imagine that she broke the vessel. Watch this. She broke the vessel so that she might extract every drop of ointment for the use grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of her reason, one thing is clear. Mary gave up all that she had for the glory of the Lord and the Lord alone.
Amen.
I wonder, have we broken our alabaster box of life and poured ourselves out, I mean every drop of ourselves out for Jesus Christ? This is the thought that occupies the mind of Paul. When Paul faces death, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul had established churches. Paul had done a whole lot of stuff. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, and I want you to listen because I want to know if you can do the same thing. Paul says, "For I am not ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand." When you get ready to die, will everything be in order? And will you have given everything that you have for Jesus and Jesus alone? We should look at our lives and ask ourselves if we have given everything we have to Him. You see, Mary's sacrifice, her sacrifice was the ultimate expression of her love and her worship for Jesus. She gave all she had, y'all. Have we placed everything we are on the altar for Jesus Christ? Think about it seriously. What have you given to Him? And what have you held back for yourself or somebody else? It's a sacrifice. You got to give up something. You got to give up all that you are and all that you have to Jesus. And when you give Him everything that you are and everything that you have, guess what? He says that's when He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. But if we don't want to sacrifice our time, and we don't want to sacrifice our talent, and we don't want to sacrifice anything because we're too busy trying to make money. We're too busy saying that the church doesn't have time to appreciate us for what we have done. Baby, if nobody recognizes you, do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
If nobody tells you you've done a good job, do it for the glory of God. See, because the battle on the back down here really doesn't mean anything. What are you going to get when you get to heaven? Will you have given up the total sacrifice to God? He said there must be a sacrifice. Then she goes on. Not only is there a sacrifice, he goes on. He says, there is a service that must be done. Jesus' statement regarding the sacrifice of Mary summed up the death of her service to Him. He simply said that she had done everything within her power to do to make me prepared for burial. The expression that he uses is "what she could," refers to all that she possessed she gave to Jesus. There were many things Mary could not give to Jesus. But in anointing Him with the box of costly ointment, she gave Him all that she had. But in anointing Him with the box of costly ointment, she was giving Him all she had. Her service was absolute. She gave her total service. She gave a complete service to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the critics Now watch. Let me go back. When you give the best of your service, folk are going to talk about you. Get ready for it. When you make it up in your mind that you are going to live a holy life, you're going to come to church, you're going to worship the Lord, you're going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to flow in the inside of you, you're going to do that, you're going to lift up holy hands, you're going to jump, you're going to shout, you're going to do all those things, somebody going to talk about you. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I wonder what's going on with it now. Baby, ain't nothing but the Holy Spirit moving on the inside of me because I touched him on last night. And this morning, he came and made me a fresh man. Every tear run out of my eye ain't because I'm sorrowful. Sometimes it's because I'm happy. Yeah, yeah. I want to give the Lord the best of my service. Yeah, yeah. He said, watch what Jesus does. When the critics started to wagging their tongues about him, Jesus told them that what Mary has done was respond to a once in a lifetime opportunity to serve the Lord. Yeah. Go with me. How you know that? Preacher, come on, come on. Go to Mark. Go to Mark. Go to Mark. Mark. You ain't got it open and close the Bible yet. Come on. Mark 14. I'm teaching today. Lord, and bless me this week. Chapter 7. What he says. Jesus tells him. We'll go back to 8. And Jesus says, let her alone. See what folks talking about you? Don't open your mouth and tell them that. Same if you give it the best of your service. You just keep on doing it and let them talk. Because Jesus says, see, Jesus will be your defender. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. Watch this. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you can do some good to them. But me, you don't have me with you always. Jesus tells him, she had the prime opportunity to do what she needed to do, and she took the opportunity to serve me. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but there were some opportunities in my life that I let slip aside. There were some things I was supposed to do. And let me watch. I thought about this. I was at the hospital, Primos Hospital, one night. Can't remember who I was with. And the family came in, white family, came in, and the Lord spoke to me when they walked in the door and they rushed them to the back. When they came back out, the Lord said, go outside and pray for them. Yeah. And I stepped in the inside and didn't move. The Lord spoke to me again. He said, go outside and pray for them. And I sat in the emergency room and didn't move. Then, when the nurse came out and the lady that I knew came out of the back, she said, her daddy just died. I missed my opportunity to minister to somebody for some bad news came along the way. Don't you miss your opportunity because you'll never have it again. When God tells you to do something, then do what the Lord tells you to do because you don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. When the opportunity presents itself, Mary took advantage of it. And she experienced a once in a lifetime blessing. Yes. The impact or the implications for us is clear this morning. When the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, it is the time to step up and serve the Lord. Yes. Too often, we miss out on those special moments of serving Jesus when we ignore the impulse and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible warns us to be careful not to quench the Holy Spirit. What do you know that? I ain't never seen that in the Bible, real. 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah.
Chapter number 5.
Yeah.
Verse 19, short verse, he says, quench not the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit comes on you and tells you to do something, he says, guess what? Get up and do it. Because you're not going to have that opportunity again. Don't suppress the Spirit. How many times have we ignored the impulse of the Spirit of God and missed our opportunity to serve the Lord? Until we reach a place where when he speaks, we immediately respond, we will never do all that we can do for Jesus himself. What the Lord is seeking is those people who have surrendered everything they have, everything they are, and everything they hope to be to the will of God. He is looking for people who will assume their place in service before the Lord. He is looking for those who will merely respond to his speaking to them. He is looking for those who of whom he can say they have done all they could for me.
Yeah.
Question gentlemen in the house today. Are we doing all that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we missed out on service time to Christ because of something else or somebody else? God is calling us. God is telling us we got to do all that we can for his glory and for his honor. There's a sacrifice. Once you give the sacrifice, once you fall into the service, then he says, there must be a time of surrender. In Christ's days, people did not sit at the table and eat a meal. The tables that they had in their time were about that high from the floor. So they could not sit at the table. So typically, their heads were near the table and their feet were far away because they reclined at the table.
Yes, sir.
This would mean that anyone who would walk up to them in such a position would be considered considerably taller than the person at the table.
Yes, sir.
It is therefore assumed that Mary would have assumed a kneeling position to anoint the head of Jesus.
Yeah.
In order for her to anoint his head, she had to get on her knees.
Yes, sir.
In this moment of time, Mary makes a great statement of surrender. By kneeling to him and anointing him, she was declaring her faith in her Messiah.
Yes, sir.
She was telling everyone who saw her do what she did that her faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, Lord.
She was at that moment surrendering herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her acts of love and worship also made a big statement concerning who she believed Jesus really was. You see, there were four classes of people that were in Old Testament times that were anointed for their duty of the day. In 2 Kings, chapter 9 and verse number 3, he said, kings were anointed. Listen to me well now. In Exodus chapter 29, verse number 7, he says, priests were anointed. In 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 16, he says, prophets were anointed. In John 19 and 39 through 40, and Luke 23 and 56 and Mark be all of these things in her heart. What you mean, preacher? I went to Revelation 19 and 16, and certainly it says that Jesus is all of those things, but he is also the King of Kings. King what? I went to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. He says he is our great high priest. Priest of anointing. I went to Matthew chapter number 13 and 31. It says he is the prophet of the Most High. Prophets anointed. Then I went to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. It said he was dead, but now he is alive forevermore. Even the dead are anointed. Thank God I got a King of Kings. Thank God I got a high priest. Thank God I got a prophet. Thank God I got one that has been to the grave, got up, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. I got somebody. This is what Mary believed Jesus to be in her heart. And she determined to surrender to him everything that she had, because she loved him and she worshiped him. Mary was more. Watch, listen well. Mary was more in touch with Jesus than the 12 men that were with her. That says a lot. Mary wasn't a disciple. But the folk who hung with Jesus was with him everywhere he went, didn't realize he was leaving even after he told him he was getting ready to go. She believed that he was about to die. And that he did. Apparently she knew that his body would not be available after the death. So she did it ahead of time. Y'all remember that the women went out to the tomb that Sunday morning to anoint the body. And the angel said, "Who you look for? He is not here. For he has risen, like he said." But they didn't have to anoint him because Mary had already took care of him. Yeah. Mama. No doubt. Her faith enabled her to see beyond the cross and beyond the tomb and see Jesus raised up early one Sunday morning in glory. She would absolutely surrender herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch this, y'all. When you surrender yourself to Christ, Christ will show you stuff that people can't see. Well, what you going to talk now? Stuff the preacher. No, I'm not. God will give you a spirit of discernment. And a spirit of discernment is, before they can condemn the ditch for you, God has already showed you to go somewhere else. Before they can tell you now, God already fixed it up for you. And before they can find you on the job, God will find them before they find you. That's the kind of God I serve. That's why it causes for us to surrender ourselves to him, because he gonna take care of it for us. Gotta be in touch with Jesus. And if you're not in touch with Jesus on a daily basis, you don't have a connection with Jesus all of the time, and your line get cut off, something might happen. Question for everybody in the house today is, what about you? Are you surrendering to the same level as Mary surrendered? Does your life, does the life that you live, show you kneeling before him in absolute glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? When Mary arrived at that place, truly she had done all she could do. When we get there, we can go no further with Jesus. At that point, he is everything and we are nothing. I like to be there. Y'all see them folk walking around here with their chest stuck out like they somebody? And can't nobody tell them anything, because you can't tell me this, because I know the Bible from Revelation to Genesis. I know all that stuff. I know the ins and outs. I can tell you anything in the Bible. I can quote you a verse. But baby, are you in a fellowship and have you surrendered yourself? I don't care how much word you know. How much word do you have in you? See, because when that is coming today, I don't know if y'all believe it, but the scripture says, take this word and hide it in your heart. That you might not sin against God. You don't believe me? Bibles are not even being printed no more. You want a Bible, you got to download it onto your smartphone. And then there's some Bibles you got to watch, because the satanic group done bought one set of the Bibles, and what they've done is they've taken out verses about homosexuality. They've taken out verses about Jesus Christ as Lord and King. They've taken out verses, but they leave the number there. That's why the Lord tells us we got to hide the word in our heart. See, it doesn't matter how much you know, because you pick it up and say, let me thumb over that for you and find this here. I can tell you this here. I can read it, but what happens when I don't have a Bible at my disposal and I need a word from the Lord? Do I have it on the inside of me? What about you? Have you gotten to the point where you are nothing but God is everything? We'll find ourselves lost in his glory. Are you there yet? Are there pieces of your life remaining unsurrendered to the Lord? Just as Mary broke the box of ointment, so that every drop be extracted, let us break our lives. Break your life on the altar. That God might extract every drop from you for his glory. That is the price of surrender. Paul says, no more I, Lord, but it's you, Christ, that lives inside. There's a story from the Mideast about four brothers who decided that they were going to have a feast. As wine at that time was rather expensive, they concluded that each brother should bring an equal quantity and add it to the supply that they already had. However, one of the brothers, thinking to escape the expense of such a condition, declared that he was going to bring water instead of wine. It won't be noticed, he reasoned to himself and said. But at the feast, when the wine was poured out, all that they had was water. Water only. Each of the four brothers had thought just alike. Let the other one do it. Water is less expensive. And you thought the hatred, the dislike, the distaste, the disgust to serve our God started in the 20th century in North American disease. No, it didn't. It was way back then. Everywhere you go in the world, you'll find everybody who loves to be served, but nobody wants to be the servant. Y'all ain't sorry for that, but that's good news. See, because you got preachers won't be served. But God called us to be servants to the people that we serve. You got members won't be served. You got deacons won't be served. You got choir members and deacons and ushers and everybody won't serve. Want somebody to serve them. Because I done served my time and you need to be serving me. And I don't need to be serving you. God called all of us to be servants. And if you are too high to serve tongue. Because I was remember when I was worse and lower than a toilet in my spiritual life. But now that God has cleaned me up, I can go and wash a toilet and it doesn't bother me. I can get on my knees and pick up paper. I can do all that. But when I become above that because I got a degree or because I'm too fancy or I got too much money or all these other things, then I have not surrendered myself to Jesus. All right. Because one of these days, you're going to be in the grave, laying across here, and your degree still going to be on the wall. You're going to be laying across here, and your money still going to be in the bank. You're going to be laying across here, and the job is still going to go on. Matter of fact, before you even get put in the ground, somebody else going to be on the job. But the question this morning is, when you get to see Jesus, what will you say to him? That's the day that means the most. Not what I got in the bank, not what I can do, not how I can help. I want to be a servant to somebody else. Gotta give all you can. She had done what she could. And I wonder if Jesus would be able to say the same about my life. Would he be able to say the same about your life? Watch this. I'm going. Alan Carr tells a story about William and Mary Tanner. They were crossing the railroad track some years ago when Mary's foot slipped. And it became wedged between the rail and the wooden crosswalk. Frantically, she tried to lose her feet or her foot as the train approached around the curve. Her husband desperately attempted to free her. As the express came closer, he brakes, and the brakes are squeaking. Mary realized they could not stop the train. She cries out, "Leave me, Bill. Leave me." She has effort. Her efforts were useless. He rose quickly, wrapped his arms around her to protect her as much as possible. While the bystanders shook in horror, the train thundered over them. It was reported that just before the engine hit them, they heard the brave man cry, "I'll stay with you, Mary. I'll stay with you." Although the man was unable to save his wife, his devotion never faltered. And in this sense, it's a graphic picture to the level of the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. I was at my worst. And I told the Lord, "Leave me, Jesus. Leave me." But he wrapped his arms around me. Saved me from the sin I was in. Picked me up. Turned me around. And then placed my feet on solid ground. And thank God he did that for me. And I got to give it up for him. What did he do, preacher? He let him lead him down the Via Dolorosa all the way to a hill called Calvary. Then he let him put him on the cross. Put nails in his hand and nails in his feet. And not only that, they lifted him up. And he said, that's where they messed up, because they lifted him up. And when they lifted him up, he said, "I'm from." pray.
Yeah.
But he knew it was alright.
Because
it was early Sunday morning.
Yeah,
she dying wasn't all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he died, y'all.
Yeah.
But what made me so happy was early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
When he got up out of the grave and he said, all power is in my hand. That's what makes me happy, because I got somebody to hold me when I can't hold myself.
Yeah.
I got somebody to take care of me when I can't take care of myself. I got somebody that's been through what I've already been through.
Yeah.
So it causes me to surrender everything to him. And when you give it all to him, baby, he's going to be able to say at the last judgment, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on. Come on up high. And I'll make you ruler over many things. Think about the sacrifice that you must give. Think about the service that you must give. Think about the surrender that you must give. And when you've given all, and when you've done the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed. When men don't believe you, he'll understand y'all. Thank God he'll say, well done. God bless you. God bless you.